Welcome to Intentional with Dr. Faye. Intentional is the radio show dedicated to opening the gateways of knowledge into a deeper, more committed way of living your heaven on earth. You will learn how to build a relationship with God that will radically change the way you live your life forever. You will discover that you're not alone in this journey. You have access to eternal life now and all that it offers. Just listen as Dr. Faye shares the gospel to empower, motivate, inspire, and encourage you to live an intentional life.
It is an honor and a privilege to be back here with you today. I'm Dr. Faye, host for this radio broadcast. We've been on a journey to rediscover America, and to rediscover our infrastructure, our causes, our mission, our hope. Why do our currency have in God we trust? I covered a lot in the previous messages, and such as what happens when love comes home, and what happens when America prays, what happens when leaders pray, what happens when the president and all of those in his cabinet and surrounding him or her in the future would pray. What would happen if our nation really did begin to trust God again and move all the barriers out of our minds to our own success and move into this place of united we stand and divided we fall? That's true. When America wakes up and begins to acknowledge that we need to take care of home in a civil, understanding way, and turn the light upon ourselves and realize that we have some people who are feeling alienated and isolated within our own shores. As I thought about leadership in America, because that's what we see every evening on the news and throughout the day, it's not even evenings anymore, it's 24/7 toxicity reporting. It's true, I'm not being negative, that's not me, I am being truthful. 24/7 toxicity reporting, and we wonder why people continue to do the same thing. Because the Bible is our principle and our map, our GPS, our go-to book for how to live on this earth. And when we get away from biblical principles, we begin to have demonic manifestations. That's true, or it's true. When we get back to Bible, when we get back to God, we get back to understanding and having clarity. We get back to kindness, generosity, and love, which there's a lot of that in America. Thank God for those whose hearts are turned in that direction. But we need leadership that are going to be accountable to God first. I heard a pastor friend of mine who's a pastor. He said that he was talking to God about what's wrong with the people. Why won't they come to church? Why won't they do this? And why won't they do that? We get that from a lot of leaders, but one of the things that he discovered in questioning God, God spoke to him and said that the people are not accountable to you, they're accountable to me. So he said, you be accountable to me. The leaders must be accountable to God. I don't get why people don't understand that, that if your heart is not turned toward God, you will not see situations turn in your favor. You can toil all night like the disciples did and catch absolutely nothing. You can spin your wheels like a hamster on the wheel, going nowhere fast, exhausted, but not showing any movement, any progress. You can show movement physically, exhaustion, but progress. And you can see progress because it'll manifest. The vision will speak for itself. You will see it in your everyday waking, walking, talking lives. You think about the work that Malcolm is doing in AmericaOutloud.com. And if you saw it from the beginning and you see it now, you can see progress. He's a progressive thinker, a progressive mover, guided to do a work, a body of work, so that people will have a voice, a place to offer their voice and their giftings and their talents. Yes, yes, and yes. When I think about leadership, I think about progress. I think about people that are movers and shakers, people who are literally turning the world right side up, because it's been upside down for so long that now it's time for us to have it turned right side up. And those of us as born again Christians, believers in God, believers in Jesus Christ, have accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, it's time for us to own the responsibility of our prayer chains, of our standing in the gap and making up the hedge to make a difference in this country and ultimately around the world. The psalmist said, I can't give the Lord that which costs me nothing. It will cost you. It's going to cost you time. It's going to cost you having a different sound coming from you rather than listening to the sounds coming from outside of yourself and thinking that they know best because they've been voted into office. And that's one of the biggest mistakes that we make, is that we feel because someone holds an office, that office has exempted them from weaknesses, from sin, from making mistakes. Ladies and gentlemen, I present to you that that is not the case. They are still men and they are still women and they are still subject to sin. They're still subject to failure. They're still subject to faults and mistakes. Do not exempt the president or anyone else in office from making mistakes or sinning. Big mistake. We see that throughout churches where people have held pastors and popes and priests in such high esteem that when they're exposed because of, you know, sin, that's what it's called. Yeah? We can dress it up. You can dress it up and call it something else, indiscretions or whatever. It's called sin in the book. In God's book, it's sin. Anytime we go away from God, we go towards sin. That's the way it is. There are leaders in the Bible that are good models for even us today as we take a look at them. And we spoke about a few of these in the past, but I wanted to bring it back to you in this teaching today, so that you can rethink the way you're thinking about leadership and about guidance and about who you look up to as an influencer, as a spokesperson for you, as someone who is your mentor or coach. Some of us have mentors and coaches that are coming through the airways. We may not hire them to mentor us or coach us, but they speak words of life. They speak words of healing, and they speak words that cause us to shift from being stuck in places mentally, emotionally, psychologically, spiritually, into a place that we feel elevated, illuminated, enlightened. We're having our aha moment so that we can move from where we are to where we need to be. We look at leaders like Noah, who was given a mandate by God because God saw the wickedness of people and that the people were so full of sin and they were totally doing everything contrary to God. And God saw the sin upon the earth and that it was so great, that he said that he was going to send a flood. And he told Noah to build an ark that will save him, his family, and the animal life. And as Noah was boarding this ark, God told him, you alone I have seen to be righteous before me in this time. Literally, the whole world was going to hell. And God saw a man. How many of you know that God always has someone that will raise the standard, be the standard, will speak God's truth, will stand in righteousness, all that they know, that God will always have some man or some woman that will not bend with the wind or compromise with popularity, branding, or anything like that. They will speak from a place of truth. And God said, you're the one I found righteous. He didn't even tell Noah his whole family was righteous. He said, you're one. You're the one I found righteous. You're the one who is being obedient. You're the one who's still making sacrifices to me. The rest of the world, they have left me altogether. And so God honored Noah because he was obedient to him. God honors people who will obey him. God honors people who will walk in his ways. He will preserve them. He will cover them. He will protect them. That doesn't mean that life won't happen. But in the midst of life incidents happening in our, to us and around us, we have this faith that's built on the inside of us through the study of his word, because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And so faith is ignited in us, even in those crisis times, those very heated times. There is faith that rises up within us and begins to take us to the next level, take us to the next step. And sometimes we have to go through things to get to that next step. I'm not denying that. But what I'm saying to you is that there is a confidence that comes when you study the word of God and spend time in his presence. And there are no substitutes for that. You can read every book on the planet. You can be so brainy until you can only talk to yourself, right? You can have so much intelligence, such a high IQ is what I'm looking for, such a high IQ until nobody really understands you but you. Yet, it is nothing when it comes to having a relationship with God. Absolutely nothing. Nothing can substitute for your being in the presence of God. Because he continues to raise us up so that he can use us for this time that we're living in. Everybody who knows the name of Jesus, everybody who calls on the name of Jesus should be seeking him in prayer concerning our nation, concerning situations around us, not just about ourselves, but what about our country? Throughout Old Testament times, I see man after man, person after person turning to God. And when they turn to God, God changed nations with them. He does something wonderful through their lives. He uses them as an example of what he will do for those who are obedient toward him. I think about Rahab, who allowed the spies to come into Jericho, come into her home. She was the woman of the night, and she lived on the wall. So she saw everything coming in and going out. And when the spies came in to check out territory, because they were going to take over what they understood, they were going to see what was inside of the enemy's camp, know their entrance and exit strategy, and go back and tell Joshua what Joshua needed to know. Joshua had leaders around him who could see, but not all of them could see. Yeah? There were 10 spies that went out, but then only 2 of them came back with a good report. You can't trust everybody in your cabinet. You can't trust everybody in your inner circle. You can't trust everybody in the office. There's only a couple of people that you can really rely upon and trust. Yeah, but those will be the people who have a relationship with God. I am here to tell you, people who do not have a relationship with God do not understand the value of trust and understanding what relationships really are all about. They're subject to change on you. They're subject to shift on you and then leave you hanging when they don't have a relationship with God. When they have a relationship with God, even when they mess up, they'll come back and get it right. We talked about Abraham. Abraham is one of my favorite Bible characters, not just characters, actually was a man who lived, and favorite persons in the Bible. when God told him in Genesis 12, Abraham, you've got to get away from your kin people. You've got to get away from your comfort zone. You got to come out from among them and be you separate. You've got to be who I called you to be, because I have something better in store for you. Some people are not willing to change. You do know that, right? Some people are not willing to shift from where they are. They kind of like wallowing in the mud, you know. They just do, because that's their nature. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new nature. He's a new creation. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things have become new. Yeah? So you don't like sin anymore. You don't like wallowing in the mud. You don't like the toxicity. You want to stay clean from the inside out. You don't want to be in company of things that will pollute your thinking or pollute the way you see life. You want to stay in your lane. You want to stay where God has planted you as a child of the Most High. Yeah? So as we continue this teaching, I want you to follow along, take notes, and don't forget to continue to listen to these teachings. Go back and listen to them in archive over at AmericaOutloud.com/Dr. Fay. And get this in your heart and share it in social media. Be an evangelist, right? Be an evangelist and share this gospel. I want to continue this teaching in a moment, but right now I need to take a prayer pause.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa, award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount, or call 844-869-9958.
Looking at leaders that God used, looking at leaders closely, their personality, their demeanor, their responsiveness to the Spirit of God. Again, I say to you, my dear friends, unless a people have turned to God, they cannot expect great things to happen. They cannot expect nations to be healed. And I truly believe, and I know this to be true, that America is in a place where we need healing, y'all. We need the presence of God to come in and heal. It will not happen in political circles until it happens in us, our day-to-day walk with God. This is a call, a cry for America to begin to wake up and pray. I've said this, shared this information before, but on February 26, 2015, we launched a Wake Up and Pray group, and we meet every Wednesday morning at 6:30 a.m. Central Time, and I post it here in the discussion page, or the description page, rather, and it's also on our wakeupandpray.com webpage to let people know that it's time for us to unite in prayer. When a people pray together, they truly do stand and stay together. It's not necessarily a scripture, but it does say in Amos 3:3, how can two walk together except they be in agreement? People who tend to pray tend to have better outcomes. People who tend to pray tend to walk in faith because they build themselves up in prayer. Build ourselves up in prayer by praying in the Holy Spirit. Build ourselves up in prayer by praying the Word of God. When we pray the Word of God, we say what God says about us and about our nation, then we are coming into agreement with God. when we speak negatively against any authority, against the president or against any elected official, we are speaking against God. But Dr. Faye, they were evil. They did this. That's not our business. That's not our space. We don't join the team of toxicity, the army of toxic evangelists. We join the team of people that make a difference. We don't flow with the stream. We have to flow against the stream. We have to go in the direction that Spirit is leading us. And it may not be the biggest influencer online. It may not be the most popular, well, that's the influencer, the most popular person. It may not be the household brand. But we have to listen to God and follow His leading. And it will not always be popular. Truth is not always popular. And I've heard it, you've heard it. People will say, oh, just give me the truth. But they really can't handle the truth. Oh, I don't mind change. And they know that change is inevitable. But yet when it comes, they don't like the package that is being delivered, in which it's being delivered. They don't like the wrappings. Just, you know, and if it was another package, then they may accept it a little bit more. A little bit better. It'll be more palatable, right? I believe that's why God sometimes put information inside of different skin, you know, different skin, brown skin, light skin. Because it brings people to a place that do you really want truth or you just want someone like you to tell you the same thing? I know that seems a little bit harsh, but it's not. It's the truth. In a world that's constantly changing and spiraling downward, every day there's more and more craziness that's happening. I don't know another word to use it. It's so satanic. It's demonic influence in every walk of life. And yet we sit on the sidelines and we still point at those people and them. And why can't they get it right? Why can't the black people fix this? And why can't the white people do this? And we're pointing fingers at each other instead of pointing fingers at ourselves. And crying out to God, how can I change the situation? What can I do to make a difference? I don't want to come here every week and tell you something just off the cuff or something that I just think you ought to hear. I really want to be a voice of reasoning in the madness of the season when everything is going running amok. Everything is going crazy, haywire. That you could tune in here. He said, okay, let me just try to pause for this faith-based out loud message and get a grip. Get some center in back into my life. And for some of us, we have to unplug from, not some of us, most all of us really do need to unplug from the toxicity. Some of you that are commentators and reporters, I know that's your line of work. But thank God that more and more of you are getting to the place that you realize that it's not just your line of work, it's your calling. So it's up to you to make sure that what comes out of your mouth is not toxic, that is truth, that is something that people can use to come to a conclusion of truth within themselves. Don't add toxicity to it, but be a voice that can bring people to a place to let them think, to hear God. For themselves. We spoke about Noah and we spoke about Brother Abraham. He had to turn loose. He had to turn some things loose. He had to get rid of some people in his circle. And the way he got rid of them, he just left them. He just left them where they were. Sometimes you've got to leave people behind. You got to leave them where they are. They're not going to change and they can't travel with you where you got to go because you're going into promise. You're moving into a higher way of living, a higher way of thinking, a higher way of being, and you cannot carry this baggage with you. Some of us have to cut ourselves off from the things that we fed on for so long and we're wondering why we're having headaches and anxiety attacks and all of these different issues occurring in our physical body is because we open the airways up and we let the toxic come in. Yeah, yeah, and yeah. Because as we think, so are we. As we think about it, we bring about it. As we think, our thoughts become this artist's brush, like a Michelangelo brush or Leonardo da Vinci, and we begin to paint our tomorrows in our today. We can change our world, ladies and gentlemen. We can change America, but it must begin at home. Love begins at home and spread abroad. We look at leaders, as I said before, as some great beings, as some icons that are immune from certain things. And they're not. They're very fragile. Matter of fact, the more people who are looking at you, the more eyes that are on you, the more eyes that are on you, the more frail you become. Yeah? Because now you're a target for every devious thought. Yeah? I hear people always saying, you know, talk about they want to have this great thing. They want this. They want that. They want to have this influence. And we all do to a level. We want that to be influential for the good in other people's lives. But there is a responsibility that comes along with that that's not pretty. There is something that's attached to that that is not good. You also become a target for all of this craziness, this madness. And whether you do things right, and if you can do things right for years and do one thing wrong, and then they'll destroy you. Whoever they are, those demonic spirits, that's who they are. Because the Bible says we're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers, against spiritual wickedness and against the rulers of the darkness of this world. And when I take a glimpse at that and we look at what's going on in our media, we look at what's going on in our country, we know that it's demonically influenced. It's not democratically influenced. It's not Republican influenced. It is a devil influence. There are families that both have Republicans and Democrats in the same household. We're not supposed to be at war because somebody chooses a different way to see life, chooses a different way to be those people, right? Love begins at home and spreads abroad. If we don't get it right within, we will not get it right on the outside. It has to come home. It has to come be so deep within us that we want to see a better world. We want to have a better country. We want to preserve that which is good and that which is right for our children and for generations to come. Our babies are now crying out, why won't you people do something? And since we won't, they are. Yeah? A man by the name of Joseph, he was the favorite of his son. His father loved him so much. Jacob loved Joseph. He made him a coat of many colors, and his brothers envied him. Joseph was also a dreamer. This is from Genesis 37, chapter 37. And he was also a dreamer. He dreamed powerful dreams. He dreamed dreams that took him out of where he was to where he was being called of God to be. Many times your dreams are bigger than your address, darlings, and they take you away from the things around you, even though you may still be sitting there. Some people have lost their dreams because they're so caught up in what's being reported on their televisions and on the social media networks and on the front page stories. They are so caught up in that they have lost their dreams in the midst of the toxicity. Don't shout me down because I'm preaching good. They have forgotten their core values. They have forgotten what they were born to do. Yes. Yes and yes. You know, when we travel and going through the airport and getting in line and you're watching people scramble through security and a lot of things go on. And then if you have to take a shuttle from one plane to another, you know, people tend to lose the very basic tenets of nature, of human being, of humanity, of being conscious of other people's pain, of other people's discomfort. I boarded a bus going to another plane, and there was a senior person standing, and there were men sitting, and I could not help myself. I had to say something. Is there not a man in the house? Really? To let this lady sit? Is there not a man in the house to let this pregnant woman or this woman with a baby sit down? What's wrong with you? people tend to lose that. Why? Because they have been inundated with so much garbage that they are numb to people around them. I know I'm preaching good. They become numb to the world around them. They have lost all consciousness of the things that their mama taught them. If they didn't get it from mama or daddy, they got it in kindergarten. And I know grandma taught them, and at some moment they had to go by church, a Sunday school or class or something to just give you human consciousness of an awareness of another person's presence around you. And how do you respond to that presence? How do you respond with respect and kindness? All of a sudden, a light bulb went off in one man. Oh my, let me get up. What am I thinking? I know, yeah, people look at you strange when you say things like that. But then again, why would I care about how people look at me? Why would you care about how people look at you when you're here to do the will of God, to fulfill the purpose of God in your life? At the end of your journey, ladies and gentlemen, it's not going to matter whether you had a 36-room mansion or you had 5 cars in the garage that cost in the millions of dollars collectively, or that your wardrobe was worth $5 million. It won't matter whether you wore sandals or designer heels. It will not matter. What will matter is the footprint that you left, not the shoes that you wore, but the footprint that you leave in this world. Whose life will you impact? What difference can you make now while you live and move and have your being? You cannot do it alone. It's going to take you collaborating with people of like faith, people who want to build lives again, people who give their lives for the sake of others, people like Mother Teresa, who went out every day of her life for years and years and years and sacrificed much and considered it a joy and a privilege. She became a leader. She became a Nobel Prize winner. Why? Because she did something that nobody else wanted to do in her day. She made a sacrifice for human beings. Leaders who do not want to make that level of sacrifice are not supporting the system that God set up long ago for good leadership. True leaders are not born, they are made. I believe we say something like that about ages of change. Are not born, they are made. They're made through the fires and the tests that they've gone through. How many of us would really want to hear somebody who's never experienced anything, have never gone through any sufferings, don't know what it's like to have food with no meat, don't know what it's like to sit down at the table and not have meat on the table, have to eat bread and water, don't know what it's like to send their children to bed hungry. Don't know what it's like to send their children to school with no lunch money and hoping that somehow the school will allow them to eat. I applaud a school here, Park Avenue, because they have a system there that every child eats twice a day. They eat breakfast when they come in and they eat lunch. So nobody knows which kid really didn't have it. Isn't that beautiful that the school district would allow that? I love it. That is so wonderful. But for people who haven't been through hell, haven't been through the fire, don't know what it's like to suffer pain and don't know what it's like to be persecuted and ostracized, they don't understand. Yeah, if you haven't been there, you don't know. That would be like somebody trying to somebody who's not my skin color, not my gender, telling me how I should think and how I should feel. That's impossible. Unless they're coming from the Bible, because that's the only place where we find equality. That we all should experience Christ, and when we experience him, he makes it all balanced. He was found speaking to a woman at the well. She was a Samaritan woman. She was half Jew and half Greek, half Gentile. She had no business in that conversation. He had no business in that conversation. And here she was out here having a conversation with Jesus. But yet, Jesus accepted her. He didn't talk about the fact that she was a Samaritan woman. He could care less. He was talking to her because she was a person and she needed a savior. And he's speaking to you today because you're a person and you need a savior. He wants you to unplug from all the things that are causing you to lose your basic love and compassion for humanity. The time that we use talking about and repeating the things that have already happened that didn't improve anybody's life, that didn't cause healing. Don't you think we've heard enough words that have caused pain and suffering in America? Don't you think that we're at a place right now that it's time to be on our path to healing? And all of the bickering and all of the hatred and all of the name calling and all of the whatever, whatever has to cease and desist. Will you join that group of people that are saying now enough is enough? Let's get on with the real business at hand and allow God to move mightily in our lives.
The goal is to deliver a message of truth, inspiration, and hope to the world, to unite people from all backgrounds and beliefs in an effort to advance humanity. News blogs, informative podcasts, and entertaining videos. It's AmericaOutloud.com, where the conversation never ends, with 24/7 streaming on our free apps on both Android and Apple. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
In Joshua, the 24th chapter, after leading his people into a new land, Joshua offers the Israelites the option to serve God, who they had always served since Moses, that generation that survived the wilderness, the one who brought them out of Egypt into the promised land, or to serve the gods of all the ites, the other gods that people were worshiping in those lands. You see, Joshua was a leader who was on a mission. Good leadership must have mission, purpose, plan, and it must be clear. The objective must be clear and specific and targeted. Good leadership is able to woo the people into understanding. Good leadership doesn't raise a battle in its own camp. Who does that? What kind of general would it be to cause his own men to turn on each other? What is a defeated general? What kind of army would it be if our military began to turn on each other and fight each other? Because that's what the devil has set up, for us to destroy each other through political bander. But Joshua spoke to the people and he said, you do what you do. These are your choices. You can serve the God who brought you out, or you can serve the God that you see these people worshiping. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Choose the God you're going to serve, whether you're going to serve some political icon, or you're going to serve the one who paid the price on Calvary's cross. I know these are hard sayings, but then who will say them? Who will share? So the people answered Joshua, and they pledged their allegiance to the God who brought them out. They pledged their allegiance to Abba Father. He didn't have to threaten or boss them. He didn't intimidate them. He inspired them and was an example before them. So much so until the people were willing to fight. When Joshua raised his arm and said, we've got to go in. We got to take these nations. God has given us the territory, but we must destroy them and their gods. The things that stand in between us and the promise, we've got to destroy. What is standing between America and the promise of the land of the free, the home of the brave? What is standing between your ability to be a child of God in this country and reclaim our territory, to reclaim our streets? Don't shout me down because I'm preaching. To reclaim our cities, to reclaim our nation for the glory of God. Why are we so reluctant to stand up for Jesus Christ in this hour, when he is the very one and the only one who can deliver us? Wherever there is a crisis, wherever there is chaos, is the time for Christ to show himself mighty. And he wants to do it. But he wants to do it through you, and he wants to do it through me. He wants to do it through people who will not give up, cave in, and quit, who will not shy away from truth because it's not popular right now. It's only popular if you choose sides. It's not popular to just choose to be who he called you to be. Yeah? So Joshua prevailed because he knew how to administer leadership. He knew how to be a leader. He had been taught. He was not a bully. He was not trying to force the situation. He just presented truth and let truth do its work. Because Jesus said we would know truth, and truth would liberate us. It would make us free. We need truth in America again. We have court cases when everybody's pointing the finger, lying, telling or accusing others of lying, you know? Yeah. And everybody knows the story of 1 Samuel and 17. The Israelites were being defeated. And here was this bully, Goliath. He was a leader of another nation. He was the leader, one of the leaders of the Philistines. And he knew how to take people out. He was a teaser and a bully. You know what bullies do? They threaten a lot. They're always threatening people. And they don't want you to get in their closets because they're so busy trying to get into yours. Mm-hmm. So the Israelites were challenged by Goliath. And he told them, he said, hey, send me a man. Give me any man. I want a man that can defeat me. And if I defeat him, I will be your servant. And if he defeats me, I'll have to serve you. But if I defeat him, he'll have to serve me. I'm going to take him for lunch. So he mocks them. He continues to mock them and make fun of them. So here comes David, this little shepherd boy. He was tending his father's sheep, and his father told him, "Say, hey, son." His father was Jesse. He said, look, I haven't heard from your brothers in a while. I need you to go out and check on these boys because they've been out with Saul and the army of Israel, and there's no word back. Sometimes I wonder how did they make it without a cell phone, right? But there was no word coming back to Jesse. So Jesse sends David out. And David, being a small shepherd boy, he couldn't even fit into the armor that Saul wanted to loan him to defeat this giant, because David had said, what's wrong with you guys? Why are you in here shaking on the side of the hill? You're shaking on your horses, shaking in your sandals, boys. What's going on? And they tell him about this Goliath, this Philistine. And he said, well, what's going to happen to the man who defeats him? What will the king do? Well, you get to marry the king's daughter. David said, sounds like a contract. Sounds like a good deal to me. Okay. I'm ready. So Saul said, well, you need my shield and my sword. David said, no, I've not tested those things. I've only tested where God has brought me. I've been in a place with God before this day came. I've been practicing leadership. I've been practicing my victories. I've been practicing being a warrior. So I've already got the consciousness and the mindset of a warrior and of a winner. I didn't come to this battle to lose. I came to this battle to win. How many of you are going through something today and you're feeling the presence of God upon your life right now? Because you know that you didn't come to this battle to lose. You came to this battle to win. David came to win. You see, he was being groomed for leadership. This is the character of a godly leader, groomed for leadership. So Goliath mocks David and he said, "You come to me with a sword and a spear and a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord." So what David did, he took his sling that he had defeated a lion and a bear with, and he put five smooth stones there. And he begins to sling at Goliath's forehead. And he knocks this giant down to the ground, this bully, this 9-foot giant bullying God's entire army. Who are you to bully God's people? In other words, David knew that he could face anything with God on his side. He was being prepped to lead this people, Israel. So he proves himself that day on the battlefield by taking this giant down and finding favor with the king and with all of Israel, because he took the head of the giant, signifying that he has authority no more. He took his head, and that made David a favored in Israel, preparing him for leadership. When Moses was leading the children out of Israel, he had to learn to take action and to be obedient to the voice of God, to do exactly what God had told him to do. He couldn't go away from the oracles of God, because the I am that I am had sent him to do a work. And when God responded to the cry of his people, he sent a man that understood what it meant to be ostracized. He understood Moses had been through some things. He'd been out in the wilderness for what, 40 years with Jethro. He'd been out there for a while, and he had come to know what it was like to not have identity anymore, because he had been away, ostracized, and he felt he was a sought after man. His history was following him. But God brought Moses to a place that he could go lead his people. I had spoken to you before about what happens when a leader prays, and when Solomon prayed to God, and how the power of God came upon the people, and how the nation of Israel was blessed because their king, their leader, had a relationship with the Lord God. Now, I can't attest to our leader's relationship with God. I wouldn't speak to that. But I am saying this to you as a leader in whatever area you may be, whoever it is, and wherever you may be, the answer will not be found in legislature. It will not be found in another law. It will only be found in the Word of God and a relationship with Jesus Christ. You're going a long way around to just make a short, to take a short distance. Just what Israel did. They went 40 years in the wilderness, and all they had to do was obey, and they would have been there in the promised land. What was it, like a day and a half away? It was a very short period of time that they would have been in the promise. Some things are delayed because we're trying to do it ourselves without God. We're trying to, you know, use God for hideout. You know what I mean? We're just putting that as a front. Yes, I pray. Yes, God, but we don't have a true relationship. There's evidence when a person has an authentic relationship with God. There's certain characteristics of the Father that are on display. It's not just about bowed head and a photograph. Or photograph. Did I say photograph? I've been watching some old TV shows. It's not just about bowed heads in a photo. It's not that. It is a true relationship. There's an anointing. There's a presence of God that comes with the person who's been in private prayer. Private prayer reveals public power. That's what happens. There's shifts and there's changes that take place when leaders pray. Moses was willing to step up to lead. And what happened when Moses was leader? The people were delivered out of bondage. They were delivered out of captivity. There was not one among them that lacked. There's not a feeble one among them. There was no welfare system. There was no Social Security Act. There was not, no. Not one person was hurting. Why? Because obedience was in the camp. If ye be willing and obedient, you will eat the good of the land. Daniel was a man that was put in a lion's den. And he was not intimidated by the king whatsoever. Said, you know what? Whether you throw me in, actually Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the fire. I'll tell you about them in a moment. But Daniel was put in the lion's den. And the people that he had worked with had become jealous of Daniel. They wanted to get rid of him because he was a righteous man. So they convinced the king to make a law saying that prayer can be made to no god but their god. Yeah, except for the king. And once that rule is made, once that law was passed, Daniel broke the law. Yeah, he did. He broke the law. He just wouldn't pray like that. He refused to pray to any other god. And so they threw him in the lion's den. Yeah, there were real lions in there. So when the king comes back the next morning, they find that Daniel is still alive. And the lions had not harmed him, because you cannot tamper with somebody who is walking in relationship with God. And the Bible says, touch not mine anointed and do my prophets no harm. That means don't touch people. Don't even touch leadership. Get your mouth off of leadership, Democrats or Republicans. I know maybe people don't want to hear that, but it's the truth. It doesn't make news. Well, Dr. Faye, we won't have anything to say if we don't talk about somebody. Well, you'll find something else better to say. I'm sure that you have it within you to speak kind things of healing and deliverance. So once the rule was made, Daniel was in the lion's den. The lion didn't harm him. Daniel's faith in God made him great, both in the lion's den and outside of the lion's den. He would not back down from the call of God on his life. And that call for Daniel in that moment was to pray, to be a prayer warrior, to be an intercessor. If you can't say anything good about what is going on Capitol Hill, turn and pray. That's my recommendation. Turn around and pray. That's what the doctor prescribes today. Begin to pray for those that have authority, in authority, those that have rule over us. That's Bible. Pray for them that we can lead a quiet and peaceful life. We need peace on these shores. We need peace in those aisles. We need peace on Pennsylvania Avenue. We need peace around our neighborhoods and in our city blocks. We need peace. I was watching a video of Senator Flowers, who's in the state of Arkansas. And as this video, her language was rough, but she was heated because she was in a battle. I understood where she was coming from. And she's petitioning them to hear her out. They were trying to shut her down, and she wanted them to hear her out. Because as an African-American woman, here she has, she said, white men marching in front of her office with guns because they have a right to carry, trying to shut her up. And she is saying we must do something about the violence on the streets. And that was a poor example for them to do that. And she felt bullied. She felt threatened. And I watched that video and I thought, now she'll get more criticism because she's outspoken and the language that she's using. But then my thought was, back it, support her from where she is. Even though I may not have used the same, I wouldn't have used the same language, but I was not in her seat. I don't know the fires that are underneath her feet. I don't know. I do know some of the daggers that she's having to take in her back. And when people are trying to undermine your every effort even the good things that you're trying to do, you feel defeated before you even get out of bed in the morning. So I petition you, America, to open your mouth for the good and begin to pray for the president, not only this one, but the next one. Pray for the every person on Capitol Hill. Pray for your local officials. We need prayer in America. We need America to be healed. We need a nation who will turn back to God again wholeheartedly, not in some little silent prayer, but in an audible prayer that's not only heard, but experienced around the world. I've got more to say, but I won't be able to say it on this program. So I'll have to bring more back at another time. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for every person that's listening right here today, that they've tuned in at the right time, at the right place, because you wanted them to hear what the Spirit of God is saying to them. Lord, I thank you right now that you would penetrate their hearts in such a way that the light will shine inwardly and they will be able to see who you call them to be, separate themselves from the toxicity, and move in the vein of liberation, of Christ's love, of compassion, and of mercy. Father, we pray for the healing of our nation. And we pray for this land we call the home of the free. We thank you, Father, for this liberation that we experience here. We thank you for all that you've given us on this land, in this land. And Lord, we say today, not only bless our homes and our families, but on this broadcast, I pray God truly bless America. This is Dr. Fay. Thank you for listening to Intentional. And we'll be back at 7, 11, and 7 every Sunday right here on America Out Loud.